because this, you're about to hear the best sermon you've heard all year. Guarantee!
Well, inasmuch as it is the first of the year, it'll definitely be the best you've heard all year. Aloha and Happy New Year. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Here is Pastor Wayne to get your new year off to a good start with a message entitled Awake and Arise.
Happy New Year, everybody! You ready? Well, I'm excited for you because this, you're about to hear the best sermon you've heard all year. Guarantee. Hey, today we're going to be talking about the process that God puts us through and the purpose that God has for us. The process and the purpose of God. They're two different things. We're going to mix them up where we're really wanting the process to be nice and kind to us, but there's a purpose. And if you catch this, it will drive out regrets from your life. We're going to make some resolutions today. It'll be better than losing weight. Watch. You'll love it. Well, sometimes when we talk about the process, we get so transfixed on our immediate goals and wanting to get this all done that we're not happy until it finally comes to pass in the way we want it to come to pass. And we're really concerned about that. We don't want things to get messed up. So we put God in a box. We tell him what to do, when to do it, with whom to do it. We got it all figured out. But our problem is if the only time we're happy is when things turn out the way we expected them to turn out, then we have really set ourselves up for a disappointment. Because often God has a different plan. Did you know that God's ways are not our ways? Doesn't matter how much you plan it. I don't care if you write it down. Sometimes God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And in fact, his ways are better than our ways.
Amen.
Because God can see around the corners. He can see the detours. He can see the obstacles. He can see the enemy at work. And he can see his purpose that must come to pass. God has a purpose for your life. How many of you believe that? Yeah, it may not be able to be seen so quickly. And in the midst of adversity, he still has, in the midst of crisis, he still has a purpose. Although it'd be more than the eye can see, God has a purpose. I like to share funny stories, and this story is about a preacher who'd been preaching for 30 years at a little small congregation, faithful to preach there. He dies and goes to heaven, and God shows him his mansion, and it's a little teeny broken down shack. And so this preacher goes, whoa, wait a minute, I've been preaching faithfully for 30 years, and I get the shack. And then he looks across the fence, and there's this massive castle. It's like 15,000 square foot mansion with flags flying, servants running around, pools, swimming pools everywhere. And he says, well, whose is this? Whose mansion is this? He says, oh, that's Mantle, the taxi cab driver's. He says, I know Mantle. He's from my town. And he's a terrible taxi cab driver. Oh, yeah. He's had over a dozen tickets. People are scared to death to ride with him. So how come he got a big mansion, I got this little one? Well, God said, well, that's the point. What do you mean? People were scared to death when he drove. Yeah, you see, when you preach, people slept. When he drove, people prayed. God has a purpose that's more than the eye can see. Well, this message that I'm going to share with you, let me set it up by a message that I heard about 7 years ago by an inspirational speaker. He took out this Chinese characters, two of them, and Wei Ji. And it actually says it means crisis. But as he explained both characters, Wei means danger, Ji is opportunity. And he says, really, in every crisis, there is a imminent danger, but also bundled up incognito is a substantial opportunity. And they both mix together. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. That's really what the Bible teaches us. But then as I studied it, I realized that that wasn't the only translation of that word. It's not the best translation. Oh, it could be, but it really is not an exhaustively linguistic accurate definition. So I thought, well, even though it's linguistically not the best, theologically, it's right on the money. So I thought, I'm going to keep them anyway. And so I want you to know today, we're going to talk about crisis, that in it is imminent danger and also a substantial opportunity. Because in every case, if you look in the Bible, every miracle began with a problem. There is no miracle that didn't have a crisis attached to it. But because in the midst of that crisis, people kept hoping God would come through as healer or redeemer or savior or deliverer, and they would see the glory of God. Each year that comes around, we greet one another by saying, Shin ne nake mashite omedetou gozaimasu, or Mega hau olimaka iki ho, or Ngungi fa choi, or Happy New Year. Now, as we say that, basically what we are inferring is that may you have a crisis-free year. Doesn't that sound nice? I hope my kids don't act up, especially in public, and embarrass me, especially at church. May they not drive me to Kahimohala, to the padded rooms. May my car not break down. I hope my marriage stays really good. I hope money comes in and I keep my job. Well, listen, no one can guarantee that you'll have a crisis-free year. Because who knows what the economy's gonna do? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how God may just bless the socks off of you? Who knows what temptations might come your way? No one knows. But I can guarantee this one thing, and that is this. I can guarantee that every crisis you will face this year will have an opportunity in it to see the glory of God in every case. Everyone. And we want to talk about that today. The process and the purpose of God. Would you write down in the bullet point there, I won't only look at the process, but I will look for God's purpose. You see, sometimes we want the process to be without flaws, crisis-free, everybody nice, everything fine and smooth. We're more enamored with the process than the purpose. And often we sell our birthright, as it were. We get rid of the purpose. We flounder on the purpose because we just want everything convenient and nice. And God is saying, I love you too much. I didn't create you just to be conveniently comfortable the rest of your life. If I did, I'd just put you in a casket long time ago and you can rest there comfortable and convenient. But we have a purpose to fulfill, and you're not ready for that. And so I'm going to develop things in you. Let's read what takes place as God was on the move during this time. Read it with me, go. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, the Amalekites had made a raid, overthrown Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. Listen, as he was ready to join the warfare, God saw from a 32,000-foot level that the Amalekites at the same time were about to set a raid on the city of Ziklag. His family, his warrior's family, were about to be taken into slavery and their city and possessions burned. God can see that. So he closes the door and slams it on David's hand. David's mad at God. God says, you have no idea of the purpose that's going on right now. I do. And if you'll trust me, and look for my hand and follow me, what would not have been repairable now will be repairable. What would not have been retrievable now is retrievable if you will just follow me. But I want what? That's the process. I'm gonna build trust. I'm gonna build faith. I'm gonna build obedience. So I'm going to slam the door here. You can sit here and cry by the door for 3 days, or you can somehow weasel your way into the warfare. But what you don't know is if you do, what was retrievable in a few days will be irretrievable. What is repairable now in a few days, if you go into war, will be irreparable then. you need to move now. And he used King Achish to say, when morning light comes, what do you do? Depart. Did you know that God can use even non-Christians to fulfill his purpose in your life?
Yes.
Psalm 37 says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He doesn't say, I'm going to do it through Christian means. I'm going to do it through any means. And I'm going to order your life. And if you'll trust him, you can drive regret out of your life because God is in control. Now, if you work really hard, you can circumvent God's purpose and settle for a nice process. But you see, when God did that, he knew that Jonathan and Saul will be killed. And if he fought, you would be blamed for their death. At the same time, Amalekites are destroying your city. And if you fight, you'll lose your family and everything else. So I'm going to slam the door here on the process because there's a greater purpose. See, sometimes the process is temporary, but the purpose is going to be eternal. The process is uncomfortable, but the purpose is glorious. The process can bring you to tears, but if you'll understand God's purpose, it'll bring joy that cometh in the morning. You see, sometimes if God is going to shoot you a long way north, he's got to first pull you a long way south. And we get mad. You're pulling me the wrong way. Like God needs to say, shut up. If he wants you to go a long way north, he's going to pull you a long way south. And there's going to be tension, and he's going to hold it there for a while to get better aim. Now, I can grumble and complain because I don't like this process. I don't like it at all. Take off the tension. All right, this much. No, more. This much. More. This much. Yeah, okay. And when he lets you go, it's like, boop, you fall down right in front of the bow. And we're saying like, God, come on, is that all my life is worth? Well, that's what you wanted. But sometimes if God wants to shoot you north, he's going to pull you south. And you have to understand that that process is not comfortable, but God's purpose is greater than the process. You getting that? God's purpose is greater than the process. And then you begin to understand that indeed he's ordered our ways. You see, in every crisis, there's an opportunity to trust God. In every crisis is an opportunity to trust God. In fact, would you write down the second resolution here? I will look at every uncertainty as a way to build my trust. You see, I look at the time when I went to Hilo. When I my wife was about 31 and I was about 12, and we went there, and because it was a small church startup, it was 23 people, I had to find part-time work to pastor because they didn't have enough. They said, we'll give you $500 a month and that's it. And so I had to work, so I had to figure out ways to produce income. And so one of the ways is some people were saying, because I'd been a youth pastor at that time for 10 years, a magazine called and said, if you'll write some articles, we'll pay you $50 an article. So I thought, well, that's chicken feed. How am I going to support my family on that? But I began writing articles, not only that magazine, but another magazine and this magazine. And 50 would come in here, 25 would come in as a way that I would at least put food on the table. And after a while, I began writing more and more. And out of the time of desperation, out of time of crisis, I look back now 13 books later, I think, where did God teach me to write? This boy from Palolo Valley, it was in the crisis. You see, all I saw was the uncomfortable process. God saw his divine purpose. You understand?
Hallelujah.
When I went over there, they didn't pay much, so I found a house that we could live in, and it was a house that was crooked. It was unlevel floor because the foundations had crumbled. It was just some rotted pieces of post and pier that had fallen down. And so we bought it for like $79,000, but I had to go in and jack up the foundations, pour concrete, doing that under the house while the house is on jacks. That's not fun at all. You're on your back working the whole time because the whole crawl space was this much. That was it. And so you're doing that, and then the termite eaten part of the house, I had to break it down and rebuild it. And after a while, we got it really nice, painted it up, remodeled it. It looked so nice. And I thought, well, I'm so good at this, I'm going to sell this house and look for another beater-upper. And so we did that, and we did it again, and we did it again, until today I flipped 12 houses this way. Where did I learn to do that? Some real estate school? No. Crisis. That God knew that in the midst of the crisis, He would teach me something that would help fulfill His purpose. I look at my life coming up from Palolo and then a family divorce, and to the point where they split our family up so that I wasn't raised with my older siblings, because they actually split our family up. So it was just a dysfunctional kind of upbringing. And at 13 years old, my dad put a suitcase in my hand, put me on a Greyhound bus, sent me to a boarding school 500 miles away. And that was the beginning. I had to fend for myself. I look back on it now and I think, you know, that could have been regretful, but I learned initiative, industriousness. I learned how to be innovative and creative. I learned how to fend for myself. I could not use excuses. I could not rationalize. I couldn't blame anybody. It was up to me. And all of those things, God knew that I would need further down the road. You can't get that from Harvard. You can't get that from Yale. You can't get that from Princeton. You get that from the process, the heated, tough furnaces that God puts you through. We can gripe and we can blame and we can miss the opportunity in there. And I look at it now and you know what? Understanding God's purpose for my life, it drives regret out of the collapse, out of the stretch marks, out of the tough beginnings. It drives regret out. Why? Because God orders the steps of a man or a woman. We are too enamored with the process. God is saying, I'm committed to the purpose. So, would you write down, make sure that you have it down? Number two, I will look at every uncertainty as a way to build my what? Trust. Let's read together. When David gets to Ziklag, this is what he asks. Let's read it. Go. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall surely rescue all. Did you hear that twice? God says, surely, you'll overtake them. Surely, you're going to rescue all. How do you know for sure, God? Because I saw it. I slammed the door here. And if you'll obey me, you will surely recover all. Because God's looking out for us, because He's got a purpose for us. You see, sometimes God's going to slam the door here because life is needed over here at home. There's going to be a deal that God's going to squash. There's going to be a door that He's going to close. There's going to be a window of opportunity, and He's going to open another one over here. When there is death here, there might be life here. And if we're just so enamored with this process and we're mad about this closing here, you'll miss all the doors and windows opening here. Because that's how God guides us. That's how God redirects us to what's most important. Otherwise, we'll miss what's most important and we'll settle for the unimportant, the uncompelling. And I tell you how many times the devil's going to throw a couple of dollar bills here to keep you going the wrong way. And if he can litter a little path with dollar bills and you sniff it all the way to the cliff, he'll do that again and again and again. And that's why God sometimes has to put a lion in the road. And if we're mad at God for bringing the lion, you miss the purpose of God. And this is what happens with David. David goes out. What's the result? Let's read the last verse. Go. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. Nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoils or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. Oh, I look at this whole story and I think, man, God is so good. And we are so dumb. But he is committed to his purposes for your life, for this church, for my life, for us as a congregation. And we get to trust him and watch what he's about to do. Let me finish with this. Talking about the process of God and the purpose of God. Sometimes I too get so enamored with the process. I look for opportunities and I kind of run with them. And I just have this tendency because I've got this, you know, innovative kind of entrepreneurial mind. And I have to be careful because, listen, not every opportunity is from the throne of God. Not every opportunity is. And so, we had to get work and try to figure a way to support ourselves. At that time, I knew a friend of mine was a developer, and he said, Wayne, there's a fire sale on a mall in Arizona and has two good anchor stores, and I tell you, it's going for like a dime on the dollar. This guy has to just get out of it. It's a fire sale, and I'm going to buy it myself, except I just bought this other development piece, and I want to get you into this. And I said, wow, thanks. So I looked at it, and sure enough, it was a genuine bona fide fire sale. And so he said, I'm holding this spot for you. And so I said, okay. So I signed a bunch of papers, got it all in. The only thing I had now to do was to wire some money that would ratify the deal. And let me just pause for a second and tell you that long ago, I saw some friends of mine bailing out of the ministry, going immoral, having problems, and the effect that it had on churches was just terrible. So I remember praying, saying, God, if I ever start going down a wrong road where your purposes for my life will be completely thwarted, you may use a 2x4 at 200 miles an hour on me. You can break every bone in my body to stop me from going that way. And if after you nail me and I still start crawling with broken bones the wrong way because I'm stubborn, you can make me so sick. And if I still don't listen, you can kill me and take me home. Because I'd rather you take me home than I toxify and corrupt a whole bunch of people because of my dumb decisions. So you may do that. I am your servant. And God said, okay. Now, that is not a prayer I'd recommend to anybody to pray. But it worked. You can ask my wife, Anna. There have been several decisions that I've made that have gotten me sick, sick, sick. And I'll tell you just one. That was in the mall at Arizona. So I was ready to wire the money. That night, I just got sicker than a dog. I don't know why. I started throwing up. I was in bed. The next day, I got sicker. And the next day, I was sicker still. And I thought, I got to wire this money. And I got sicker. Finally, I'm thinking, I'm going to die. I remember getting on my knees and saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on. This is like a supernatural sickness. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, there's nothing wrong with that buying that mall because it's a bona fide fire sale. But I didn't call you to be a developer. I called you with a different purpose. I called you to be a preacher of the Word of God. I called you to feed my sheep. I called you to give your life for the cause of Christ. You can do this, but if it does, it will take your whole life on a whole different course. Not that it's wrong. I'll call someone else to be a developer, someone else to do that. But you, my purpose for you is not that. It's not sin, but it will be for you if you go that way, because you will destroy the purpose of God. And if you don't straighten up, I will kill you. You know, it's funny. I called the guy up the next morning when it was daylight. I called him and said, I'm not wiring the money. I'm rescinding all the contracts. I'm pulling out. He said, are you nuts? I said, I think I am. He said, what are you doing this for? I said, God told me. He said, you are nuts. I said, but I have to do it. And you know, even though he was upset, when I hung the phone up, all of a sudden, it was like within 24 hours, I was back on the mend again, just that fast. And I thought, Lord, you are so committed to the purpose of God in our lives that you'll do anything, won't you? Yep, I'll do anything if you'll let me. You can circumvent me, you can grumble and gripe, And the worst victory you'll ever win is when you escape from my will. And that will be the greatest defeat you'll ever experience. But if you'll understand that sometimes the process that I'm taking you through is uncomfortable, but the purpose is glorious. The process may bring tears, but the purpose gained will bring joy in the morning. And when you understand and never compromise the purposes of God for your life, it'll cause you to drive all regret from your life. Even though it was painful, I know that I want to be a person under the purposes of God, and that will make a happy new year.
You've been listening to a message entitled Awake and Arise by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, Hauli Mwakeiki Ho, Happy New Year, and God bless you richly throughout the year to come. Aloha.